Hey guys, Rick and Duke, welcome to another Warhog Words of Wisdom. So as you guys can see, that's on the video, obviously I'm back in a hotel room, so kind of fitting this thing's come full circle back to kind of where it all started. For those of you tuning in, if you're asking, hey, who's this Duke guy you're speaking of? So Duke was my retired work dog that I lost July 5th, 2001. We kind of do this, you know, I opted that, hey, I'm going to keep his name in there. Just kind of a way to honor him and keep his memory alive. Second thing I want to do is just thank the viewers, listeners out there for giving us your most precious commodity, your time to tune in. Greatly appreciated. You've moved us up to the top 2.5% of all podcasts globally. So thank you guys for your support. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Leave us a rating review. I don't care if it's just a thumbs up emoji. And then, oh, by the way, if you want early access to these podcasts, Words of Wisdom, whatever the case may be, make sure you go to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/onTheRange podcast. You guys will have early access to that, training stuff, our vlogs, Zoom calls, all that stuff, but definitely check out the Patreon page and go from there. So with all the housekeeping being done, I guess, we'll jump right into it. So on this, this episode of Words of Wisdom, just want to talk about red dot sights. So just coming off the heels of the American Tactical Canine Association 2021 symposium. It was a hands-on type event, and the course that I taught out there was one-handed pistol shooting for the canine officer. Here's the thing, guys. I'm starting to see a huge influx in red dot sights in law enforcement, which I am 100% happy there for to see. I'd say, hey, man, keep it up. Keep going. Here's the one thing I'm going to caution guys on, and I ask them, you know, this question. And I kind of ask you, you know, if you're just a civilian firearms owner, if you are running a red dot sight, what is the number one fail point potentially with that red dot you're running? Not going to throw any brands under the bus, but just say this. If you have an open emitter system, i.e. it's not enclosed, and the only enclosed system I know of right now is the Aimpoint Acro. I think Holosun might have one as well, but I don't know the nomenclature. But if you're running anything other than an enclosed red dot, you've got potential fail point, meaning you can get something on that emitter, which then in turn, hey, you go to present, there's no red dot there, or something happens like you get water on there. Now you've got this big starburst, so you really don't have any type of aiming reference system on there. So I would just say, first and foremost, kind of do your homework on red dot sites out there. Is it one of these where when you are putting that red dot on your pistol, can you, you know, use the sights that comes with the pistol, or do you have to put something like suppressor height sights to be able to get some type of iron sights on your pistol? So just, I'd kind of caution you guys, I'm for the red dot pistol, don't get me wrong, but make sure you're doing your homework as far as, hey, what sight am I putting on there? Is it working for my pistol? Oh, by the way, what holster am I using? Bunch of different things that go in there. And then, like I said, just make sure that you're looking at, am I actually running an enclosed red dot? So since I am, you know, running an Aimpoint Acro, it's a big point of contention, I guess, for some people. You know, the P1 got a bad rap, in my opinion, with the whole battery life deal. I never had any issues out of my P1. I think I got over 6 months of just leaving that thing constantly on, not really adjusting the brightness. I would adjust it for my environment. So obviously, you know, if I'm going to carry that thing prior to going out at night, obviously turn it down so I didn't need the same daylight brightness. Hey, if it was an overcast day, I mean, you're going to be adjusting your dot brightness throughout. But with that, you know, kind of information, I just ask people out there, hey, if you did have battery issues, because let's think about it. The battery that came with it, I don't know the brand name, but it wasn't a brand name that I recognized. Did you actually swap out the battery and put it in there to go put another one in to go, hey, what am I getting for a lifespan out of that battery? you know, obviously kind of transitioning over to the P2 now, that's running a 2032 battery. So a more common battery to find. And, you know, again, where I haven't had it for that long. I don't know what my battery life is that I'm going to get out of it, but I can tell you right now it's still on and still going. So just, you know, words of caution, you know, before you start going, hey, I'm not getting product X because it somehow got bad mouth on the interwebs or people said something about it. try to do your own research on it. Try to find somebody that's got one. Here's the beauty with the acros. And again, you'll hear me talk acros because again, it's an enclosed red dot optic. I am not worried about anything getting on that emitter and me potentially losing my dot, but where it's also a Picatinny rail, it offers versatility to the shooter. So if you think about it, and you guys will be seeing an upcoming video out of Panteo on this one, but I show the versatility of taking the P2 basically off of, and you can do it with the P1 as well, because again, where it is Picatinny, taking it off of a pistol, mounting it on a rifle, and then still using, you know, it on the rifle as an option. Yes, it's a 3.5 MOA dot. It's a little bit bigger than, you know, something like a T2 that's a 2 MOA, but just trying to show the flexibility that this optic gives you. So I would say for those of, you know, those of you out there considering getting a red dot, I would say 100%. Biggest thing is get some training on it. There's plenty of videos I've done on YouTube as far as, you know, pistol presentation, because I think there's some key points in there. And if you hit kind of some certain landmarks when you're presenting that pistol out, it'll help you get that dot so you're not doing the fish type deal. I do believe, and if I didn't mention it in the videos, I kind of mention it here, you know, as far as the podcast goes. If you are running a Glock type pistol, yes, you do have to do a slight roll of your wrist, at least what I have found, just to kind of have that window come better in just because of the grip angle of that pistol. So just some little nuances. For my LE guys out there, you know, 100%, I get sometimes you're being dictated, mandated by your departments as far as what optic to use. However, I would just, you know, if it were me, and again, I do carry a red dot pistol. I would just want to make sure that it was enclosed. So can I potentially talk to whoever the authorities that be within that department and just educate them on, hey, we might not want to go with this potential brand of red dot because where it is an open emitter, I might have dramas, issues, you know, rain, mud, just regular rubbish, whatever the case may be, affecting that red dot. Or do I go with something with, you know, is it a closed emitter? I'm not worried about, I haven't had any dramas going from a warm vehicle out to, you know, a cold environment outside or vice versa. I haven't seen any fogging up on that. So to me, that is the standard as far as looking at, you know, red dot sights. And I got it. People will say, hey, I like this or that. That's cool, man. But I would just say this again, it keeps going back to that caution point. If you have an open emitter, you have the potential of losing that dot. You know, LE guys, yeah, man, I think if you guys can do it, if those of you, I don't like to use the word aging, we'll say just getting wiser with time, you'll see that potentially your eyes might be going. And if that's the case, we really can't start seeing that front sight post anymore, or even the sights in general for some people. And that's where the beauty is with that red dot. You know, we're not trying to fight that. I pose a big question to my LE guys. So I see the red dot pistols come out and I always ask, so what happens if you put that red dot on a red shirt? Because yes, at our Warhawk training events, we do put clothing on our targets to make as close to realism as we can. And I just asked the question because I've yet to see a red shirt come out with somebody with a red dot. I'd want to test it. Does it bleed out? Does it not? I know the answer. I'm not going to give it to you because I need you guys to do some homework on your end so that you guys are thinking, hey, man, am I truly testing my stuff to make sure my equipment is going to be there when I need it? You know, are you actually going out in the rain? So again, going back to the whole YouTube thing, the Warhawk V-Drill, man, it was pouring down rain that day, right? Was I concerned about losing my dot? Nope. Because again, I kind of talked about it during this, this downpour that, hey, I've got an enclosed red dot. I'm not worried about water getting on there. I got it. Some manufacturers have drilled some holes to mitigate that stuff. But again, for me and betting my life on a piece of equipment, I want to make sure that I don't have any potential fail points built in there. So I would say, guys, you know, 100%, if it's within your budget, if you can afford it, understand some things go on when you get a red dot for your pistol. Depending what pistol you have, what dot you're getting, you know, you're going to have to get that slide milled at some point. Again, I like, you know, the aim point where it is the Picatinny's, because again, I can go from the pistol, boom, right to, you know, another platform if I wanted to, or if all my pistols are cut for Picatinnies, because yes, I'm just running acros, I can go from pistol to pistol to pistol and not worried about, hey, do I have the right plate for this one or that one or whatever the case may be. So just food for thought when you guys are out there, you know, trying to make your selection. And then the other thing I would tell you is if you can, you know, when you're testing the battery life, was, I will tell you straight up. So when I got the P1 initially, that was not my everyday carry gun with that optic on there. Why? Because Rick was just trying to do some testing to go, how long will this battery life work? And then kind of knowing that, hey, 6 months was the window I got out of it. Okay, cool. I can set something up. You know, we all got these phones. We can set an alarm in there. Hey, at month 5, so I've given myself a little buffer, change the battery. You know, however you work your anniversary times on there. The other thing that, you know, don't forget, and I've seen this happen with guys with red dot pistols, is when you put your, you know, when you put that optic on your pistol, depending what you got, you might have one screw as far as the acro goes, or if you've got, you know, another brand, might have a couple screws in there. Put witness marks on your screws. So that way at a quick glance, you can just see, hey, is this screw moving at all? Because we did have an LE class where one of my students actually lost one of his screws out of his red dot. So he was going to sit there and just pop it off altogether and just go, hey, just run iron sights. Luckily, one of the guys out there had a magnet. We were able to kind of go right in the area he was at. Quick sweep and boom, you know, found the screw. So we were able to get it tightened back up. If you know that's going to be, you know, the permanent pistol or permanent dot for that pistol, would it be a bad thing to put a little bit of, you know, Loctite on there, you know, put the blue stuff so you got it, it's removable. But that way, hey, if I did want to, you know, ensure the screws are staying in place, yep, it gives me a little more security. Absolutely. But I get it. Some guys are running dots from pistol to pistol or swapping back and forth, or, hey, let me try it on this one and try it over on another one, whatever the case may be. If you could, yep, Loctite it down. If you can't, put some type of witness mark and just periodically check. And that's the other thing, is you see a lot of guys just not checking their stuff. So, hey, make sure your witness marks are good. Hey, when was the last time I changed my battery? Oh, am I actually have some type of cloth or cleaning rag, whatever, that can actually wipe the glass off if I've got fingerprints on there? So just different things that you can do just to make sure that you're getting the maximum capability out of that dot, so that God forbid you are in that deadly force encounter. Man, when you present that pistol out there, that dot's there, and you can make your shot so you can end that threat and bring yourself home. So, Ellie, guys, you know, kind of in closing, man, keep up the good work. Keep pushing those red dots, especially for my canine Elios. Makes things, you know, whole class was based on doing one-handed shooting, because typically your other hand's going to be controlling that canine. But just keep, you know, opening your eyes and make sure that you're doing your research as far as, are we getting the best product available? And am I mitigating any potential issues by buying a certain brand red dot that might cause me dramas during that deadly force encounter? So embrace it, enjoy it. Get out there, get your training. I had one guy tell me that, hey, his department required him to fire 3,000 plus rounds before he could actually call with that thing. That's cool. Just make sure you're getting some good sound instruction. Because again, I think there's some certain ways that you can help that presentation process. And like I said, you know, the Warhawk Tactical YouTube page, it'll have, I know we've got pistol presentation stuff with red dots specifically, same thing with irons, but just to make that a little more efficient, because I think that's one of the key things guys struggle with, just so that as you present out, boom, that dot's there, easy press your trigger, boom, shots are on target where they need to be. So just again, want to thank you guys for tuning in. I want to thank you guys for giving us your time. Don't forget to check out warhawk.com. And kellydefense.com. Make sure you guys are signing up for our newsletters. Trust me, we don't bombard you with stuff, kind of give you an update what we've got going on. And really the Patreon, you know, help support the podcast that way. patreon.com/onTheRangePodcast. All of you that have supported me as far as losing Duke, all your thoughts, all your prayers, all your purchases of the different whether it's Explosive Apparel Design, Teutonic Distillery. You know, we've got a fundraiser coming up that we're going to start in honor of Duco Project. And again, whole purpose behind that is to help out canines. Obviously, I'm slightly jaded when it comes to my SOF canines. Certain passion, you know, for those guys, and just want to try to take care of them. But depending on how much money we end up raising, you know, might we go to some other avenues? Hey, we potentially could. So be on the lookout for that. More to follow. Still working out some details on that. But again, guys, appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate all your support. Make sure you guys are training hard. Stay safe. Don't forget your dry fire training in there. And appreciate all your support. Don't forget the old subscribe, like, tell your friends. And we'll catch you on the next one. You guys take care.